All right, we're going to get started. We'll start out with a roll call, please, Sarah.
All right. Chairperson Simon.
Here.
Commissioner Charette.
Here.
Commissioner Chang.
Here.
Commissioner Clancy is absent. Commissioner Maline is absent. Commissioner Roberts.
Here.
Commissioner Vesey.
Oh, that's just the room. Please on. Did we miss anybody? Excellent. Yeah, I deal with it. Do we have any public comments?
We do not.
All right. Adoption of the meeting minutes. The meeting minutes were in your packet. Does anybody have any changes, adjustments? All right, perfect minutes. All right, great. We will adopt the meeting minutes.
We have motion and a second. Hey, Chairperson Simon.
Yes.
Mayor Charette. Commissioner Chang.
Yes.
Commissioner Roberts.
Yep.
And Commissioner Vesey.
All right, let's kind of roll around the room and do some commissioner reports. And as a reminder, it's just if you experienced anything between the last meeting. Any meetings that are not on the agenda or any items you want to bring up? This is a. Beth, if it's okay, I'm going to start with you.
I don't have anything to report on.
Shannon?
Sorry, nothing to report here either.
Okay, thanks, Shannon.
I've got a bunch of things. A February Senate Green meeting, and was very surprised to see I was not the only one there. I was there. Representatives from Park District 90, and somebody said township, although I couldn't identify. In addition to all the regular updates that people had, that Mayor Katrina Thompson from the Village View was a pretty exciting solar order that's going up in Broadview. Also, you know, kind of unit that can then apply for
how they did that with the 25 business.
Well, they've employed a consultant, Darnell Johnson, who works with them, and it's all the regular updates. I guess the only other one I'll mention is that D200, new sustainability commission, which I believe Charlotte is on, and hopes to have a sustainability policy by the end of the year. I also somehow ended up on the DU sustainability committee as a community member. I went to observe. Oh, we've been looking for a community member. So, but I'm hoping that I can form some good ties between the five things that they're working on are very line up very much with what we are doing. They are updating a very outdated sustainability plan. They're trying to get some base metrics. They're working on communication. And I think the most exciting opportunity for partnerships is they're looking for, well, they said on campus. Experience in this, and then they're also working on something that's called Laudato Si, which is a worldwide wake-up call from Pope Francis to help humanity understand the destruction man is rendering on the environment. And then I'm also was working with District 90 along with Sarah, got them connected. They received a grant to create an outdoor nature classroom next to their natural area outside the kindergarten, and Public Works has and work with them on creating seating.
Don't really have much to report. Happy to if there's anything else on last time, if there's anything else.
I don't have a lot of updates. I touched base with Maggie. She couldn't be on the call before this, and just kind of cool and something to keep tabs on, and something that I think Maggie will keep us posted on is they're really starting to sell electric school buses in Illinois. And there was one deal in particular that I think they closed recently. I can send that article around after this meeting. That was in the media. It's probably a good time for us to, at the very least, get on somebody's calendar with the school district and, just kind of make sure they're aware of what's out there and what the opportunities are and that it's being adopted really all over the country at this point. We don't do busing in River Forest. There's limited busing in River Forest. So it'd be an interesting thing also to partner with or park on for D200. So we can revisit that, and that'll be kind of part of Maggie's responsibility. And I don't really have any other updates that are not already on the agenda. I think we lost Ellie, so I was going to ask her. Ellie, can you hear us? Muted.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. If you can hear us good enough, do you have any updates for us?
Oh, you just went out again. Hang on. I have to use my earbuds to hear, and then I can't have them in to talk.
Sorry, what did you say?
For you a little bit.
Can you hear me?
We can't hear you, so we'll move on and we'll try to circle back to you.
Okay.
Any updates on your end?
Okay. Good point. Staff did meet with SoulSmart last month to discuss the silver designation. The reality is the village doesn't really have any goals for solar, but we're still working through some of that language internally. Submit the zoning designation. Our meeting last week, the village board accepted the LRS waste hauling proposal without any changes, so staff will be bringing board for final approval in the coming weeks. And just on a personal note, congratulations. I know you guys didn't get everything you were looking for, but many of your recommendations are being incorporated, including reduced composting program fees with part options, as well as HH. Also at that meeting, the board heard an update on the extension of the Des Plaines River biking trail and continuing the trail through River Forest to reach the Illinois Prairie Path and the Forest Park Transit Center. So this project is being coordinated by the Chicago Metropolitan Agency for Planning and their engineering consultant, and is expected to undergo construction later this year or in 2023, depending on the idea is to pull parts of the existing trail out of areas along the river that regularly see flooding. So these improvements will make the path more usable and connect it farther south. Finally, I spoke with Mindy Agnew from Oak Park regarding Oak Park's single-use plastic ordinance. And she told me that they had been working on that a couple years ago, and they had put a pin in it when the pandemic began. She relayed that there had been some concerns about approaching businesses with additional costs or regulations, but that it's now back in their queue.
On the Des Plaines River Trail piece, the commission was involved in that 4 years ago when. So if we need to get involved at all, please. Are they talking about having it? I mean, Metro Woods with was that River Grove?
So they're planning to continue it through the Illinois Prairie Pass to connect
it
there.
The way.
And
that's
then
awesome.
The forest part.
I don't know if anyone needs our help on that.
A resident reached out to me and asked how. Now I.
Local sharing cost.
Okay. Item in the capital.
I don't know if that was the full amount. So some of that's for the village's bike plan. So
okay.
We're.
Which is separate than.
Right, right. Okay. So we completed phase one of our local bike plan, and we kind of put a pin in the improvements along the IDOT routes, which Chicago or Thatcher. North of Chicago is an IDOT route. So ideally, we're going to be our phase two of our project to the construction.
We were involved in this because it was considered transportation and decarbonization. Last time we talked about it, right? It's another medium for our residents to travel at this point north.
Mm-hmm.
Safely on we were involved.
Involve constructing new trails, or is it just going to
the idea is it's going to come along Thatcher Avenue north to south.
But the Prairie Pass doesn't come to Thatcher, so at some point there's you'd think there'd have to be a road.
Thatcher's just,
it's and the Prairie Pass starts on First.
Well, actually, I was at the meeting, and I think they're going to use one of Thatcher that has two lanes. They're going to use one of the lanes for the bike lane. And then, down south of Lake Street, they're actually going to go up onto what is now described as a sidewalk to nowhere. So things are, it's not just going to be taking what's existing and.
So at this stage, the operations for the project are likely to be
One thing to add, sorry, going back to kind of the Soul Smart, is the there's a designation ceremony coming up on March 17th. I know we're not getting designated for anything, but it's at Argonne National Laboratory. And so we attended this when we achieved our designation a few years ago, and we are invited because we're members of the Energy Committee and Energy Subcommittee for the Metropolitan Mayor's Caucus, and it includes a tour, which is just the coolest thing ever, and it's worth going literally just for the tour of the Argonne National Laboratories, and they focus on sustainability. So last time we did the tour, it was the laboratory that's working on, different materials for solar panels that absorb energy better and all this unbelievable science that's going on there. So let me know if you're interested offline. I will forward you the invite. You have to sign up ahead of time because they actually do a background check, the lab. You have to get security clearance and you get a badge and everything. And, so you have to sign up ahead of time.
I'm going to comment too, before I move on, going back to the waste hall, which, I did submit a written and, so I just wanted to convey this because I think it's very relevant to our commission. So it gets back to our sustainability plan, which, when I brought that up about a year ago, to determine that our sustainability plan is Planet Green. So I went back to Planet Green and said, what have we committed to in this plan? And one of the items is to reduce overhaul waste by 1% a year. So looking out, at the five-year contract, that would mean a 5%. And this is not composting or electronics or hazardous waste. This is a, reduction in total waste by 5%. And I don't see anything in the contract that would provide any incentive. It could happen if people did it, but there's nothing in there that provides an incentive. And the comments that I heard during the discussion, I submitted that to the trustees. There was no discussion of it. And the comments that I heard, you know, were basically, as long as we have walk-up service is what we have now, in which they're just untouchable in our village, there's no possibility for that. So, you know, it gets back to what is the point of signing on to these sustainability plans if we're not going to make a concerted effort or at least have a conversation, which, you know, that part really did bother me, that this did not come up either in the Sustainability Commission and, you know, and not among the trustees. So that's the first thing. And the second concern I have, and this was sort of just upon further reflection, I mean, there was not much warning that that was coming up. And I also found that problematic, that we spent so many sessions on this, and then it sort of seemed like it was meant to slip by us or something. You know, it was never even brought up. So I raise that as another concern when issues are coming up. I think it would be, we are the most informed people in the community on these issues, so I don't know why they would not want us to weigh in either at a either at the village board meeting or in our meeting. Raise that as another concern. But upon reflection, looking at it, this is on the pricing. Well, actually, I have two more comments. So on the pricing, when I look back over the last 4 years, the average annual increases were about, the average about 2.5%. And so they're giving, you know, what they say is a free year, and then the increases are 3%. And so my concern is that this 3% will be locked in. And, you know, the next time it's negotiated, they'll look back and say, well, you know, we've been 3%. And so, you know, we've just added in another 5%. And when I look back over the years, you know, since I moved here, trash went from about $12 to $30. So, you know, this is just something that increases all the time, and it's a percentage increase on an ever-increasing number. So I think that that's something that, as you're negotiating, you should bring up, that this is a 3%, but that, you know, historically looking over, that's higher than. And the other thing was that in the comments that night, I believe George Straw made reference to, there was something in the contract that allowed, if the number of households composting got to a certain number, it would switch over to opt out. But I went through it pretty carefully, and I couldn't find anything on that. So that's just a question I have. Is that in there? Is that something they're going to add? From what I can tell from the latest numbers, we're still like below 15%, somewhere like around 12, 13% of households. But is there something in there? Because I thought he made reference that night that if it went above a certain, then they could discuss, even within the you know, the 5 year.
I heard that comment too, and probably confusing, but I doubt that's in there.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. Is that going to go explicitly into the contract? Or, and you know, it's just, as I said, I'm just raising issues for, but that was said, and I couldn't find that in the contract. But if that's something that they're offering, I just think that should be written in the contract, and it should be very clear of what percentage. What I inferred from this is that there's a cost to distributing the bins, and that's another impediment to getting opt out for everybody, in addition to the, you know, the actual service cost. So, you know, and maybe these things are that. Then I guess I have one more concern, and that's the way, I mean, obviously Roy Strom is looking for a total amount for the village, but I also have concerns the way it's divided among the village. So, for example, in terms of affordable housing, if you look, like, we still have an unlimited trash haul rate, which, you know, you can put out whatever you want. Yet, if you have a two-unit building, they're paying, you know, twice the base fee. So that, to me, is an inequity, and it's falling on the, you know, the most affordable housing in the village. So I think that's a concern. Same concern with people in the alley, which, you know, I watch them. We have half of our street is a alley. Half of our street is an alley. The half I'm on, the other is not. And they go through about 30 seconds per household on the alley, and, you know, 5 minutes per house on the other. And so, you know, and I think that that's something that can be changed within it, because, again, Roy Strom just wants their total money. But the way the village is dividing it, to me, seems not very equitable. So.
And just to, you know, on that, first of all, it's great getting your comment. It's great that you speak up at a lot of different things, because I thought it did bring up a lot of questions. You got a lot of questions back kind of after you, I wasn't here, but I was on Zoom. So I felt like it did kind of get some of the trustees thinking, you know, so I appreciate that. I apologize personally if, like, the process for how we were involved was not communicated well, which it sounds like that was the case. Because this was how it was supposed to kind of, what the plan was, which was we were going to, you know, talk amongst ourselves. We were going to provide what we thought the priorities were. that was going to be submitted to the village. And then that was really the end of our participation, because that's what we were asked to do by the trustees. There was never like a feedback loop built in to where then, you know, the finished product would come back to us and we'd get to comment again. Maybe that's something we need to insist on in the future, is that, you know, we get to see the final product before it is the final product, so that we can give some continued, you know, like you said, we're the experts in this particular area, so we can give some, you know, continued feedback on that. So I think that's really valid, but it did, the process did happen the way it was supposed to.
I would just say, as a minimum, I think we should be given, you know, like a heads up that, you know, this is going to be on the agenda. So, because there was some scrambling that day, and I apologize to both Sarah and Eric that you had to take time out of your day to do that, because I brought it to the attention of the show. And so at that point, they did seem to think that there was it was necessary for you to weigh in and for Lisa to be able to say you had been briefed and everything else. So I just think that can avoid that last minute. And for people that want to comment, it can give them more of a time to form their thoughts.
Absolutely.
On it. And I can understand the piece about not coming back to the commission, but, you know, not giving a heads up and not giving us a chance to comment in that venue. That's, you know, that's really more at the core of what
I'm totally valid, Susan. I agree with all that. You know, and the only other thing I would say is, you know, we got some wins in it. And you're right that if our guiding principle is Planet Green, essentially. But what I would, you know, kind of argue is that, well, so first of all, I think, isn't it diversion that it's based on? So I don't think recycling is.
There are two goals in the Planet Green. One is a 1% reduction race, 1% reduction waste per year over the course of this contract.
But waste is what's going into the landfill.
No, total waste.
Even if it doesn't turn into waste, if it's actually recycled?
Yeah, there's one goal on diversion, and then there's one.
Okay. So either way, I think there's, you know, this is kind of like one of those things where we're never going to get everything we want. Because, you know, that's just kind of the nature of really, by the way, every commission and, you know, everything that happens kind of in politics and in the village. So we got to think of ways on how to reduce waste in the village. We got a couple wins out of the trash thing. I never saw the trash contract as like a massive opportunity for change, just because I knew it was going to land in the middle somewhere, right? Like, we were going to get a few things, but then there's other consumer pressures that were just, that's just the reality of how it happens. So, you know, through education and through other means, we're going to have to just find other ways. I know it becomes harder because we could have gotten these things into the contract, and that would have been an easier way to get some of these wins. But now we're going to have to achieve those 1% through other means. And we're just going to have to be creative like we usually are in trying to achieve that.
I don't want to belabor this, but my final point on that is that if this is the sustainability plan that we signed on to, I don't think we should carry a win. It's like this is what we committed to. So at the very least, it should enter into the conversation. So the fact that it didn't, and it was sort of like, okay, yeah, well, you know, we got some things, we didn't get others. This is what we committed to. So if we're not, yeah, and it's embarrassing to be the village's representative to Planet Green and, you know, for it not even to come up as a concern. I don't want to belabor this, but I feel obligated to say it, and I think we should have a discussion if it's not, because from what I heard that night, it doesn't seem like there's ever a chance that, you know, have, you know, like eliminate, well, I mean, I suppose we could eliminate the unlimited, which George Strom did say is going down every year. It's a relatively small number of households, and if we're going to meet the commitments.
Thanks for your comments, Susan. Appreciate it. Anything else on? Go ahead.
Well, I'm trying to sort of formulate. No. Everything that you're bringing up, Susan, you know, you really, you're really paying attention to all of the what we're trying to achieve. At the same time, this is partly our own work as a commission. In the discussions that we had about this contract, we failed to link it back to and a green plan, that's on us, right? But we actually, I don't actually remember discussing that. And I'm not saying that that's correct, but when we were coming up with our principles of guidance to give to the village and the staff to use to negotiate, we talked about it quite a bit, right? And I remember coming up with the general guidance, and I think that what they came up with, for the most part, met that guidance. So I do feel good about the I appreciate and trust that Sarah and Jeff did all that they could in negotiating it. We did not actually give them direction to come up with a contract that was going to help us reduce overall waste by 1%. And that's on us. If, you know, we need to revisit the whole, like, strategic plan, and this goes back to what are we really going to focus on, right? And that we're going in so many different directions. And it's hard. Like, we're going to talk later about the community solar, and I have some ideas about if we're really going to push that big thing, then there are certain things we can do. But, like, the metrics for every single different thing, I mean, I appreciate what you're saying, and we want to move on all fronts. We feel that the staff deserves credit. That the household hazardous waste and the electronics thing, I don't quite understand if you're saying that having stuff go to there fits the diversion metric but does not address overall reduction. The overall reduction of waste, that's a whole conversation that I don't think we've ever really had. So we should have it. In other words, I feel like what we got was consistent with. That's not to say that we didn't ask for others too, if that makes any sense.
We did include in the directives, or at least in our conversations, that they were incentive.
I think everything we submitted was, the goal was to reduce waste. We just didn't do it probably scientifically, based on kind of what the goals were with the Planet Green plan. Look, this trash hauling contract is going to be locked and loaded, and we're going to have to figure out how to achieve our goals in other ways. So I think we should move forward, learn from these processes. Any other comments on this? All right, let's move on to the agenda. Single-use plastics. Sounds like we have a draft ordinance actually in front of us.
Anybody needs a paper copy? Yeah, so, and I can lay this off here. So hopefully everyone had an opportunity to review the ordinance. I did share it with the village's health inspector, who did not have any concerns with it. So what we're looking for this evening are any changes that you'd like to see, or, of course, any questions you have about it. About the proposed exception. One comment I had was, I just thought that cup sleeves should be taken out, because it doesn't seem to me that anybody includes cup sleeves if they're not necessary. You know, like, I've only ever gotten it on a hot cup, because I think it says later on, like, you could have a cup sleeve if you need it, but I don't know why anybody would go to that added expense.
It is included in the exception as the temperature that.
Yeah, but I mean, I found that confusing, because just in my experience, I've never gotten the cup sleeve unless it was necessary. So I don't know. That was the only thing that, interesting to hear what.
The park ordinance?
No, the Chicago one. The park is not.
Okay. Theirs is probably based on the Chicago one, too.
My main question is whereas clause that says we have sought input from village business owners and invited them to share their comments and attend a sustainability. That's something we're going to do because I don't think we have.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. So the idea is once everyone's comfortable with the ordinance as it's currently written, whether that's tonight or then I will prepare notices to be sent out directly to the businesses and will also include it in the village's communication channels. Take them to a meeting on a specific date for any input that they might have or concern. So then we'll fill that in.
And I think last time there was a discussion about whether this applies to like the university cafeterias and
yeah, to me it was unclear from this. It was out. I thought it was unclear.
So it does. Now they can apply for a waiver, or really any business could apply for a waiver. And I did reach out to the Chicago department that is handling their waivers. And they said as of today, they didn't have any.
Do you think it's worthwhile to include that explicitly?
I can
just bring it up.
Check with the village attorney if
okay.
If he explicitly included in there.
I did check with a sustainability applicant to say, you know, how relevant this is. And I think for most things, even during the period of time during COVID when students were taking things back to their room, that it's always like the rooms and everything are out and they take it. But then there is like smaller instances, like they run something called Recipe Box, which is through the nutrition department. And you can, they put together these lunches that you can pick up. And I've had a few of those and they do throw them in there. So I think it would be more limit, you know, I don't think it would really apply to their general lunchroom.
So there is an exception for the packaged foodware. So I think that they should be under that section. And then there's also some information about are able to take it from the self-service
station. Yeah, because you're making
right.
your own decisions.
Right.
Does it outline at all what the waiver process is?
The village attorney said there's no legal requirement to include it in the ordinance. We can set up parameters if there's that. Otherwise, it would be the village attorney.
What is the timeline for this?
Yeah, so if there are some changes that you would like to see, I can take those back to the village attorney and we can work through those. If not, then we can decide the meeting date to have the public input.
Has everyone got a chance to read this, or is this our first time looking?
I think it looks similar to the Chicago ordinance, and
I think
guess
it is
I
the
will
Chicago
just,
ordinance, yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. I mean, since it seems like this is something I want to proceed with, I don't really have anything other than my global comment that I made before about, you know, embodying this in an ordinance. It seems to me it's pretty similar to the Chicago one, and greater minds than mine, I'm sure, have thought through. And the assumption that we're moving forward with it, I don't have any change.
I think there's probably much a neighboring town if it's Chicago, but adopted elsewhere. Because that would be my biggest concern is this is like this. Well, I shouldn't say biggest concern, but I'd be afraid that maybe the intent of this or the actual implications are misinterpreted by the headline or the whereas.
I'll try to make it as sending out the notices to the businesses so that they bullet points of the how it might affect their business.
We had the same concern when we first started talking. Like, a little bit of third railness when you. But this is very reasonable and business centric. Yeah, it's mm-hmm. all going to be in the communication.
The Chicago ordinance was developed with the business.
Any other feedback on this? Or just because this is maybe I'll give the commission to the end of the week in case anybody sleeps on it and has some feedback. So if you do have feedback post-meeting, sorry, go ahead, Shannon.
No, my only thought, and I am just reading this for the first time, is I don't think it addresses like bags and carrying containers. And one of the, I know that we've talked about like addressing bags and things like that through other types of measures and initiatives we've done, but that would just be my only, I guess I probably need to sleep on it too. But my other thought is it doesn't address if we wanted to carrying containers, which, you know, sometimes you have those nice light bags and sometimes they're giving out like much more, I have a favorite Chinese place that gives you this very nice zippered thermal bag, but I look at it and I'm like, gosh, the greenhouse gas emissions that went into creating this thing. So I don't know, just a thought off the top of my head.
Don't order from that place anymore because of, so that's like an interesting kind of broader question, I feel like, which is this purposely avoiding other, you know, kind of potential environmental problems and carryouts, bags, containers, polyethylene.
I think part of the intention of this is to get at things specific, like the single-use plastic, that people can decide whether or not they. About the bag. But that could just be, it's the same way. All it means is they would say, you know, before you can say, I don't need a bag, it would just say, do you want, you would just have to say, do you want a bag? And it's very different than the tax reason or the fee, because the reason we weren't allowed to do that is because we're non-home rule. This is just a person. I don't see a problem with.
The bag thing was just a technicality.
Well, it was considered a tax. It does not get at the issue of taxation if you just say, do you want a bag? And then you have a chance
exactly.
to say, no,
and
I do not.
That's why we can do
or,
this.
Or
yeah.
you could bring your own bag or your own thermal bag and say, no, I've got my bag right here. So it's just, this means they have to ask you a question.
And
there'd be a, is that what you're getting at, Shannon?
Well, and sorry, it keeps cutting out, so I didn't mean to over speak. But I guess maybe to expand on my thinking a little bit is just we're not, you know, the kind of the objective here is to stop using single use plastics. And I think we say single use. I think we need to make sure that that's clearly defined, because I think for a lot of people still single use plastics is not totally clear, if that makes sense. Like there are some plastics that we are not single use, right? And that they're not bad. They can go into recycling and we do recycle things here. But I guess part of what we're trying to do is to get people away from things that can't be reused. So anyways, is there something that we want to think about too to encourage the use of recyclable type materials? So to expand on my bag thinking, there's, you know, bags that you can't, you know, that are plastics and things like that, but a paper bag can be recycled, right? So I don't know if we want to, I might be taking this out of scope and way too far, but is there a way to encourage also through this, the use of,
you know, do we think that people understand what single use is, and do we need to maybe set up additional programs or add additional things to encourage the use of recyclable things if you are having takeout and things like, if people are taking away from restaurants?
I mean, at the very, you just kind of piling onto what Shannon's saying, like at the very least, can this be communicated with, you know, with communication to the restaurants on, you know, better use of materials for carryout, both for carrying as well as for, you know, food storage. You know, like at a minimum, would be great as if this came with a flyer to the businesses, you know, that talked about, you know, alternative materials they could be using that are a lot more environmentally sensitive and potentially costly.
Totally. Like, not that we want to say people can't take things away, but that you, like, if they are going to take away, we want to encourage you to use the ones that are, you know, biodegradable or we know are recyclable, right? And maybe help people understand what that means.
So is this something that the commission's looking to have incorporated into the ordinance or as like a little bit of a separate educational piece?
Well, we're saying both. I don't think we've decided.
They think we might have some limitations in what we can do in terms of.
Sure.
Well,
sure, this
we have limitations. Is like really, really narrowly written. I don't really know what the origins of it were in Chicago, but it is single-use foodware. It's not single-use plastic. Right? And there's a very specific definition. Foodware is utensils, plus the only thing that isn't really like a utensil is the content. I am tired of always getting those, right? So I think it's a great outcome. But I think we did talk a little last time, too, about whether – packaging we want, you know, places to use, compostable containers, but I think the sense was that wasn't something, it's one thing to say, we don't want you to give this stuff out. Another thing to try to mandate that business use compostable containers because that's a cost.
So this is like laser written. Like there is no question that they purposely wrote this to avoid those other things. Probably for like this very reason.
So I guess I would just say if the objective is to get something passed about single use foodware, then you keep it simple. And it's kind of like these other things too that you're raising, Susan and Shannon. I don't disagree with you, you know, those broader goals, but I feel like realistically, if we send this back to amend the ordinance, those issues, this is going to get. And we can try to attach some sort of educational thing, or when we invite businesses in to talk about it, it would be nice to invite them to talk about it in a broader way. And if we had something to offer them, you know, as opposed to we're dealing with requirements.
Totally agree, Beth. 100% agree. And maybe my comments are more of, can we offer some more education and facilitation? Because what we can offer is we do understand what, you know, I think we do understand what single use is and versus with our recycling system specifically here, right? And maybe we just try to support the businesses and that, you know, this is it. People have to ask for these things, but you know, here's some even better options if you are providing takeaway things that we'd love, you know, to help you just understand that this is not what, these are not single use for consumers.
What I'm hearing here is that as much as it'd be nice to expand the reach of this ordinance, that's probably not realistic, and I would agree with that, but we should take this opportunity, because we have the attention of the restaurant community, to educate them on, you know, better ways for them to do business from a
and maybe hear from them, right? Like, what are their challenges that they have?
Cost on certain things, at least.
I just want to question asking people if they want a plastic bag. You know, just in the same breath that you're saying, you know, do you need utensils?
bring it to food, you know, the same food. To me, that doesn't seem like it's imposing a cost. And, you know, a lot of times in that situation, I just can't get it out of my mouth fast enough. And when I do, they take the plastic bag and they throw it in the trash.
Yeah.
I go, well, that doesn't really help that anybody here.
That's to the purpose.
But, you know, if just like we're used to going to grocery stores and bringing our own thing, if we could do the same thing when we're picking up food, it would just, it doesn't impose a cost. And they're, you know, changing their policies to ask about all these other things too. So in limited scope, I don't mean like every plastic bag in the village, but could it be considered, or at the very least, could we bring it up?
I think we should provide that feedback.
Could we bring it up? Because it does not, we're targeting the same people. It doesn't add a cost for someone to just say, I mean, if anything, it reduces cost.
And it's literally another item listed in this. I mean, it might be more complicated than that, but can we ask the village attorney if that changes the, if that's something that could fit into there or if it changes the overall?
Yeah, and one obstacle I'm just thinking about is, with like an online order and it's fulfilled through like
I thought
like
that
some
was
sort
one
of
the exceptions.
So
it's digital internet enabled applications, digital platforms. Oh no, those are included, not
right. So that's where you need to affirmatively request the use item.
What section is that in? Just so I can read.
Page 3, Amendment 2, Section 1.
Part of my concern with that would be if somebody's ordering something online and
mm-hmm.
don't need to have like Grubhub or Toasttab or whoever get them to update their ordering platform. And then also then the drivers would need to.
Yeah.
They're not.
I don't know.
It's not very feasible.
Grubhub's not.
That was not my
mind
when I thought that is not very feasible. No.
But let's you know, flip the question if we could, just to see if there is an obvious kind of place to put it.
Yeah. Just for like, you know, people going in. Yes, I'm thinking more about that. You go in to pick something up.
Yeah, like for carry-out.
A lot of this is delivered. I just want to have one other comment about, you know, this is getting back to the section that Beth brought up about bringing business. I mean, I think without incorporating these other things into this ordinance, which, you know, is that we could think of this as opening a conversation and that we are, you know, our sort of our starting thing is something that saves them money. But, you know, just say that we as a village are trying to be more perfect and, you know, ask them for suggestions and what they need and everything, but sort of say this is the opening of a conversation and we're hoping to get to other things that, you know, like styrofoam and that there are states that, you know, Maine for one, I don't know if there are others as well, maybe California, who have set a date and said beyond this date, styrofoam will not. In a similar thing, say this is at the end.
Any other feedback on this topic?
Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Would this mean that, you know, when sometimes if you order food online, there's a little checkbox for if you want utensils? What if they did that for bags as well if you're going to pick it up? Like, would you like bring your own bag or do like utensils and stuff like that? Because I find that the utensils checkbox is really helpful.
I think the reason they were able to put that in this ordinance because they already knew that all the digital platforms already had that capability. So that was like a layup by asking for that. Asking the global digital platforms to add a button for River Forest is probably not going to happen. But again, like, and just like Susan said, I think this is an opportunity for us to start the conversations with the restaurant community.
So I'm hearing that the question back to the village attorney is whether we can incorporate plastic bags. As
yeah, I think it's worth asking because, like, maybe the village attorney will have a clever way of getting that in here where it doesn't upset the. One thing you don't need to. All right, really good feedback, everyone. Thank you.
And then before we
keep rolling.
Move on. so are we, well, I'm just not sure if we should set the date for April 12th just yet then, right? I do need to give them at least 3 weeks. That would be 22nd. So
I'd prefer just to get this going.
All right, so then we'll set the date for April 12th. All right, and that's why we'll have them come to the facility commission meeting for the to the board for consideration. Of course, they can attend. And then as I mentioned in my email last week, I am looking for a couple of volunteers to help craft some language to fill in the highlighted section of the ordinance. And thank you, Carrie, for sending over some research that helps to support the intent of the ordinance. The research doesn't have to be limited to just those articles, but I do think we're in a good spot with what we have.
Those are pretty good. Mm-hmm. So this is really, can somebody kind of track some good kind of key findings from those, most of those were academic papers? Have you seen one where it's filled out? Like, I'm curious how much we want to put in here.
Okay.
Similar to these other paragraphs,
yeah.
Just like a
help. Excited.
I'd love to have another wingman on this. So Jeff and I will take on.
I guess is this just because in the original ordinance, but they were dated?
Did the Chicago ordinance just have this blank, or?
No, I'm not sure that they had something in there. Yeah, and I think it's something,
So
he wants to make sure that the ordinance is scientific evidence saying that.
Three or four sentences based on. And in those articles, most of the key findings. We'll do that. We got to do that quickly if we're going to do this.
So it doesn't need to be inserted into the ordinance for that April meeting, but we should have it when the commission makes its final recommendation to the village board. So we can do that at the April meeting, or maybe we'll have some ordinance. So the timeline after April is a little dependent.
If I can get to it sometime this summer.
But it would be good to have it for the
All right,
making
fine.
The case
we'll get it
for
done.
The businesses,
we'll...
right?
All right. Anything else on the subject? Good dialogue. All right. Let's move on to community solar. So are you taking the lead on this, or?
Sure, I can. So I think it's exciting to see these statistics that I don't know if Susan got them or Sarah got them, but whoever got them, they are great to have. My takeaways from the statistics were that it's interesting to me that it appears that River Forest is, the absolute numbers are low, right? But in terms of the percent of how eligible households who signed up on the reservation list, we're actually doing really well compared to other municipalities. percent, which is as high as any of them, right?
It seems terrible. But
our conversion rate, right? Our conversion rate was 30%. Thank you. And
we're
halfway in there, right? Some of them were lower than us. About half of them were higher than us. So I actually think this really helps us think about what is a goal, a concrete goal that we want to set for the year or however we want to. It could be that we just want to increase the conversion rate, or the one statistic that isn't on here is what is the actual percentage of households who are enrolled, right? I mean, if you end up doing the math with like the number enrolled versus the eligible households, which I'm using number of postcards sent, it's all less than 1%, right? But you can, I feel like that's actually a metric that we might want to go for, right? What percent of our eligible households do we want to get enrolled? And, you know, it might be something incredibly modest, like 1% or 2% or whatever for the first 6 months or 1 year. We need to just come up with something, because then it gives us something to aim for. And I've been thinking about how to kind of repeat this more frequently in the communications, in the e-newsletters, in the monthly e-newsletters. And if you set a goal and you tell people the progress we're making towards it, and we need this many more households to get to it, you create more, you know, excitement, and at least for me. Those were my observations from the data. And in terms of where to put our effort, I actually would love if there's some way to work with MC Squared on that conversion. You know, they know who hasn't converted. Probably they can't just like give us email addresses, but they could maybe do a secondary communication to those people who put themselves on the list and say, if you have questions, commission, or maybe even ask them, can we share your information with your local commissioners? Because I myself took a really long time to do this because I didn't get anything, and it turned out it was user error. I typed in my email address with a typo in it. I spoke with Sharon, who manages the program, and she said, oh yeah, we should probably have a process, right? Comes to emails and see if there's some way to follow up. And Sarah, I don't know if they're allowed to kind of communicate back with you in any way, how involved staff is, or if this is just totally independently. But to me, the conversion is just a lot of hand-holding, right? Because I'm as in the know as anybody. And when I went through the process, I was like, okay, there's all this fine print here. I don't want to read all of this fine print. And you kind of, some people are going to really get stuck at that point where they ask you for your credit card, right? Because all of a sudden you're, wait, I thought I was saving money. How come I'm paying money? And you're also signing your credit card not just for a fixed amount. It's like an abstraction, right? I don't even know, have I signed up for a one-time or a repeating thing? It's just like not clear to me, right? And I signed it going on faith because, oh, but many people are not going to get a hurdle. And the way I finally interpret it is, I'm going to be billed for 80% of whatever I am going to save my electric bill, which is like an unknown number, right? So I don't know if any of the rest of you got stuck at that point, but I could see a lot of people getting stuck.
Has anyone else done it? I'm not eligible for it. Is anyone else on this call?
So I signed up, and I previously was on real time. In anticipation of this, I went off, and so I signed up. And it had been several months, and I got this, and I have a pretty low electric bill. And I came back, and they said, no, you know, you can't do it. You're on. And so it was only when I said, I came back and said, well, you know, I went off it several months ago. And I also added, I said, you know, I'm a sustainability commissioner, and I'll have a really hard time convincing other people to do this if you don't let me on the program. And like an hour later, I was on.
Good.
But I was just talking to somebody else who was also discouraged, who does not have a particularly high electric bill. So I wondered if one thing we could ask MC Squared are, you know, maybe some of these reasons. I think this is getting more at the, it might be getting more at the 95 to 83, but I'm wondering if
you know, like the aggregation program, they have a higher interest in the most lucrative accounts, and they might be discouraging some of the, you know, smaller. And the problem with that is that people who are energy efficient may, you know, or, you know, focus on this may have lower bills than people who just don't pay attention to this. So,
I don't know why.
I don't know if that's a concern, but it seems like if we could get any more information about maybe more of an open discussion of, you know, we want to work on increasing our conversion rate, and so we need to know more about their feedback that they have, or, you know, are people bringing up. But the other thing I find is in conversation, even with people who I would describe as highly motivated, informed, they're really confused about this. And when I said, you know, there's a wealth of information, I get feedback like, well, we don't want a lot of information. We just want a simple answer. And I said, well, it's not that simple. Or even, you know, as we talked about, you know, being confused between community aggregation and community solar, because, you know, somebody said, well, it's MC squared. And I said, yeah, but it's a different MC squared program. So I think we need to work some more on communication. And, you know, in everybody's defense, I would say, you know, we talked about this for months and months before we figured out what this meant.
Well, so exactly. Because if you tell people you're going to be saving money, what most people are going to expect is that their ComEd bill is going to decrease.
A totally reasonable expectation.
We just need to be totally upfront to say you are going to get a second bill from MC squared. And in fact, you're going to be asked to sign up to be auto billed for that through your credit card, right? It's not like a piece of paper that comes to you where you remember or choose to pay it every month. In order to complete the enrollment, I had to give them my credit card for auto pay. I mean, Shannon or Jeff, have you had the opportunity to try to do this?
I haven't personally. I'm still on real time. So
okay. Shannon, what about you?
Shannon, you're on mute. So, you are.
Sorry, hard to get off mute. I'm honestly totally not sure in my household. Apologies.
Have you tried to sign up for community solar?
I have not, no.
Could you try in your spare time?
I can't.
I would have thought, like, MC squared not incentivized to, I guess I would have assumed that, like, when someone enrolls and then a spot becomes available, they pursue that as if it were
sure,
a sale for them. Like,
that's what I'm surprised. That's like, it's like email 101 for any company is going through your bounce backs and then trying to contact those people. And that's like, so that's a great question by Jeff, is like, they just not doing, are like, you know.
Well, I'm also not sure why the number of enrollments sent out is smaller than the number of accounts on the wait list. Oh, that might be related, I guess, to whether a spot has opened up or not. Do you think that Sharon, who runs the program at MC squared, would be willing to come to a meeting,
be at
a meeting to answer questions? And
sure.
Essentially, it's sort of like, well, we want to see what we can do to boost the participation beyond just what happens, kind of. But we need to know your experience with most effective.
And another thought is, since we're going to have businesses here, maybe we could bring it up with them too, you know, sort of do a double whammy since small businesses are also included in this.
I would have thought, like, our mission objectives would be that incentives are all aligned for, like, we've done our work here at MC squared, can take it from. Be good to talk to her if that's not the case, and we need to do.
But even 2% is not.
No,
I mean, it's a relatively young
number.
Program, but you know. I can't remember. Does anybody remember what it was last month? I mean, has it? I'm sorry. What? Does anybody remember what it was? Because
because look at these.
They're reported last month as well.
I would also be interested in having Aaron's take on that 4,296 postcard sent. Is that pre-identified as eligible households, or is that just the number of households? It's all ComEd accounts. So if you are on real time or whatever, you could be included in that 4,296, but you're actually not eligible.
It was 1.75 last month.
1.75.
And the conversion rate was 27.
So what was the number? Was it like 65? For
it
the
was
number?
75 accounts 75. On wait list. Number of enrollment sent out 63.
Hmm. So it has
enrolled.
Increased on
so
its 20 own without us doing
up.
Anything. Yeah.
Which, I mean, it's like if that trajectory kept going, that would be amazing, but...
Does anybody think it'd be worthwhile to have these numbers on the community solar webpage?
Well, I mean, that's why I was thinking about doing another communication about this, either in a weekly or a monthly newsletter to start informing. We could add it to the page too.
Yeah, just see the number going up.
I'm just looking now on the website, the village, two resident links. Actually has a like utility electric ComEd. Can we like amend that.
Yeah,
to
definitely.
Just say like village supported community solar. I'm imagining. I mean, I get deluged with ads from the third party electric and gas vendors all the time. Wouldn't be surprised if like even someone heavy sees another one is like yeah
throw
like,
it away
yeah. So I think maybe linking it to some ability of like it'd make a difference for us.
I also remember on you know the Metropolitan Mayors that you know that checklist that we went through of all the things we had to do. What one of the items was try to convince some of you know the bigger users. So like one thing that comes to mind is Dominican. Is this something that Dominican would fall under, or do they? Would they have to do it kind of separately? Does anybody know?
Off the top of my head.
And is the village their community solar for like the pump house?
So no, we're not for the pump house. And I've had this conversation with a few different people. So I need to go back to that. But I know that our franchise accounts are not eligible.
Right, franchise accounts are definitely not eligible. We have non-franchise accounts. That's a great point. Like, why aren't we talking to Park District? They're a little funky too in the way they do the universities.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea.
How
nonprofits.
The places of worship.
Yeah, I mean, right. There's a lot of low hanging fruit.
I know that there are some limits in terms of kilowatt hours and things like that. So.
Oh, that's true because they don't want industrial on it. The pump house is a huge energy user. On the franchise agreement, not right. So that's one of the few things that's separate. User might be too much program, but like we should check it out. And by the way, if it is too much for this program, we should get it enrolled in a commercial.
What hours up?
Look, we're gonna
the pump. I missed the initial.
So it's the water. It's you know the. It's the water pumps, basically.
Water distribution.
Yeah, it literally pumps it from you know from the feeds coming from Lake Michigan to I mean this is the last mile of it.
Huge. Those huge.
Machines use energy.
So by franchise, we're referring to the utility tax that we all pay and then
I knew you were going to remind us of that. that is correct, Susan.
I just wanted to be sure.
It is not free electricity. It is a resident funded.
Yeah, it's collected through utility tax. And again, there should be a big windfall this year because natural gas prices way up. You know, a lot of people.
So I'm assuming if we save 20% on that, then the.
Well, at least it could go into other sustainability issues. It could be put in a fund towards solar eventually on the pump house.
All right, so it sounds like we talked about bringing in talking to MC Squared, I think they've got to have resources and statistics and things that they can do to, like, at least do the very basic follow-up. But you had some action items, you.
For community solar?
Summarize what we have, what we.
No, I know I've got the, I'll add the new resident, I'll add the link to community solar to the new resident section. To turn and see if she'd be.
Work for you, Beth.
I would just add a third one is I think we need another round of education because just my community and so I've come to the point realize this is going to be like one by one and it's just talking to people and asking people if they first I asked people if they'd signed up and they kind of take a then I had to change my question to have you had a chance to look at the material.
Yeah, this is truly grassroots.
Yeah, and to your point, Jeff, about how. MC's Squared job where I would be interested in what is their kind of their incentive to convert more people. But my own feeling about this is we're a small village. People are going to do it because somebody says, yes, it's okay to give a credit card to this company. Not because somebody from MC Squared. Like, I only convince myself because I've been talking to all of you guys, right? And so I have that.
I mean, there are all kinds of protections on credit cards. If they,
oh, yeah.
You just have to pay attention,
Well, right. So, yes. But the amount of fine print that you are faced with when you want to enroll is, like, you have to see. I was like, I am not going to be reading this. I want to know from a trusted friend or neighbor that this is on the up and up. And I think that's how we're going
to. And it's hard to see the 20% when they're, they're two such different
bills.
Yes, different
and it takes time, right? I've got to wait for the cycle to come through. Just have this trust.
And because rates are higher, it doesn't seem like it's 20%. Another disturbing thing I heard at the Planet Green meeting is that because natural gas prices are so high, the makeup of our electricity is leaning more towards coal because of the price incentives. So, just even more reasons to get people off of comment and on to.
Yeah. Any other, for the sake of time, any other comments or items? And we're getting close. Why don't we move on to number 7 on this, which is talking about CEJA.
It was not so much as a topic as I came across a booklet which I forwarded to Jeff a while ago, and I said, why don't we just include in the packet because we're all trying to figure it out. So I don't have anything to comment on it. Just if nice summary, Mark Pruitt was one of the names on it coming out of the power board. So it's just more, just to highlight that it's a resource, and I think everybody's still trying to figure out, what all is in CEJA.
He is. I check in probably monthly with. With Mark or with some others, it's incredible how long it's taking the various Illinois state commissions to interpret the legislation into what that means for them. So my understanding, and maybe this is yours too, Susan, is that it's still a work in progress. I can tell you, I also keep checking for my business because we want to install a significant amount of EV chargers for our employees. As well as battery storage for our solar, and I all the time, and it's we don't know. We know there's stuff in there, we don't know what it is, and I mean they know a little more than that. We know that there is 80% rebates on EV chargers. They have no idea how that's going to be process will be and who's eligible.
So they're not operational yet.
Okay, so we can kind of keep this as a floating topic until we get some good information. I think your point is we just need to keep tabs on this.
I think that's a good point. And might be programs administered. Aware of before.
In a lot of ways, we need to kick up our residential solar communication again. because CEJA refunds, it puts more, it can't refunds, it restocks, you know, the whole credit market in Illinois, which had run out of money. It means that residents that are doing residential solar will now have huge incentives like we did, where the system will pay for itself. Communications is on here.
Yep. Always having this on here. I'm just looking at the calendar as to how many more we have in March, because I just, I'm going to see the little calendar thing as a screen share. So first, thanks to Carrie, who did this month's Healthy Lawn write-up, and she's quite early, so was so early that we forgot she already wrote it. But this week's month or weekly thing will be the One Earth Film Festival. The plastic bag store that the village is co-sponsoring is this Friday. Then we have three more weeks in March. When Planting Think Native was something kind of left from last year, have on here the bicycle exchange, which is supposed to happen sometime in early April. And I wanted to ask maybe if you're the only student commissioner on here. I wanted to see if maybe one of the students wanted to write this. It's only 100 words. And I could put you in touch with Lindsay Silver, who's running that at D90. Would you be willing to put that together, Ellie?
Yes, I definitely would. Would you be able to send me what that would
include? Yeah, I'll send you the information, and I think we will run that like the week of the event, probably the first week of April, so we can run it either the third or fourth week of March. So I'll follow up with details, but thanks for being willing to do that. I do think I'm going to do something on the community solar, just to keep the momentum going, right, and say this is what we are. And then I think we might possibly want to do it again as a monthly thing in May. That depends on whether Charlotte and Ellie, you think you have something for May, but let me just finish the monthly one. So I need one more for March. Does anybody have any particular the other ones that were on here were smoke detector requirement, although that was written up by the fire chief, so I don't know that we need to do that. World Water Day was something that was a placeholder from last year. The When Planting Think Native, while it's the right time of year, Susan, I think you're doing the April one with LA on community wildlife habitat, which seems like it will naturally address native planting.
I just want to tell LA that David Hoyt wrote that, so I'm reading through that. Now, did you want a weekly thing for that as well?
Well, that's what I'm asking for some input on right now.
Why don't I extract out of it a weekly?
Okay, so we'll have a weekly kind of teaser thing, and then you'll have a more specific thing for the April monthly about community wildlife habitat. Okay.
And I forgot to mention in my report that Ellie is actually working with Corey Cadillac and other students who are going to be putting together a digital brochure about the national. So this is sort of a teaser for it, and then people are going to start receiving things, and then Ellie's going to reach out to the people, beginning with the people on the Parkway for Pollinators, since they're already more than halfway there.
So that's going to be in the April monthly piece?
I don't think it will be mentioned, but it will just be introducing it, and then they'll see it again, you know, soon when they reach out to them.
Okay.
It's more like a
So for the When Planting Think Native, that would either be for next week, or I could do the community solar thing if you need more time to do that.
And what would be the deadline if you need it for next week?
Monday at 8 a.m.
Which is when I need to send the monthly anyway. So
you'll just do them together.
Yeah, they'll be together.
Okay, great. Much.
And I do have a graphic. Also.
Okay. And then real quickly,
just a sign.
The monthly topics. Ellie, I don't know if you've been able to talk with Charlotte at all about whether you feel like there is a monthly write-up here or something about the schools, either OPRF or Roosevelt. Do you have any insight on that? would be due kind of like the middle of April.
Really, the only thing that I've been doing with this school is working with Veggie Club. It's been a little bit tough because other people, the other girls in it don't really have the best attendance, so it's been a little bit difficult to keep up with Veg Out. But we might be able to write about that if it picks up.
Somebody said something about a sustainability thing being formed at CRF.
Yeah,
what is
maybe
that?
Maybe Charlotte could write something.
Is that a student?
It's faculty, buildings supervisor, whatever the title is. Yeah.
I mean, we could do that. It's not, I guess it's more sort of like sharing something significant that's going on in the community. I would say we either do that or we dedicate another monthly write-up to a more in-depth thing about community solar. So what's the sense of the room here? We could ask Charlotte to do that, and if she doesn't think she can, then we'll do the community solar. Okay. I will reach out to Charlotte. So that was what, high school sustainability commission or something? Is that what you... committee?
That's not what it's called, but that's, we know what you're talking about. So.
Right. And then just to, are you in touch with Maggie at all, Eric? Could you ask her about whether she is on track to do something about sustainable transfer soon? So her deadline for that would be mid-May. And then you and Jeff are on for rooftop solar for July. So mid-June to do that. I do have some friends who recently put rooftop solar on, and I have this idea that it would be cool to just, like, feature a particular resident who did it. It doesn't have to be if you know somebody, but if you don't know anybody, I'd be happy to. She already said she would be willing to be featured, and she's always checking her little app.
Oh, that's cool.
Much,
that's honestly,
you know,
that's
so just kind of fun.
That's more
sort of
real.
Resident feature.
Yeah, versus us preaching.
Okay.
It's cool.
All right, I'll put you in touch. Okay, I think that's enough for communications for this month.
We love the communication.
I just kind of, you know, I want everybody to be on track with those monthly write-ups so it doesn't sneak up on you, and everyone has been doing a really great job writing them, and thank you.
Moving the communications along, it's not. Other business, I just have a quick one, which is, like, I always think of this and then I always forget about it, which is, can we go paperless from now on? I love laptops. And or people are on Zoom and they have an electronic. So
the only thing is, if somebody is here, they should be able.
So do we? So we technically have to have these printed out for.
Yeah, maybe we could have fewer. Like, we could have fewer copies.
Yeah, totally. Fewer copies and like maybe for next week when there's. We can pull these all up on our screen, so we are saving paper.
I have one other thing that I forgot to say. So the community garden, our registration opened up last Monday, and we changed the rules this year because last year a lot of the people from the previous year grabbed two gardens and they were almost. So we said one garden, and after a month, if they could have a second one, within 48 hours, all 31 gardens were
That's
gone.
That's awesome. So all 31 individuals then?
Individuals.
That's amazing. Yeah.
Somebody who was in Florida where there was a lot of scrambling to get them signed up. But it is awesome, but it also brings up that there's a really high demand for this, and that if there's a high retention rate the next year, that, you know, basically you get into that situation where, you know, if you haven't lived here, but, you know, if you didn't get in at the beginning. So it's just something to think
about. I see. Once you're in, you kind of have the right to renew, sort of.
No, you have to be there in the first. If you hadn't been there in the first 48 hours, wouldn't have gotten it. But, you know, those are the people who are. I think they did receive an email, so they have a little bit more of a heads up. But there's really high demand, and
so that's actually another really cool thing to.
Yeah.
So you could, you know, I'll leave it up to you what you want to do for the Monday 8 a.m. thing. If it's a sort of planting thing native, or if you want to kind of highlight that.
No, we're going to focus more on the community wildlife habitat.
Okay.
Just because it's more of an umbrella program that pulls everybody in. And plus,
I know you're going to do that for the monthly, but for the little weekly thing.
No, but even for the weekly. Because, I mean, the other thing is, you know, if there's more demand out there, like, you know, why rub it in that we've got this great community garden and sorry you didn't get one because they went in 48 hours.
All right.
But
All right, thanks. Hey, Ellie, since we missed you on the updates, do you have anything else that you want to add before we?
Not anything that I haven't already mentioned. Just the veg out / veggie club stuff is what I've mainly been working on, and then the working with Corey Cadlick, which we talked about already.
Next meeting is scheduled for April 12th. We talked about that being the meeting where local restaurants that would be affected by the ordinance will have the opportunity to provide feedback. Mm-hmm. We haven't really had a meeting like that in a while, so with you, and we'll strategize on how to make that as smooth as possible. All right, fantastic. Can I have a motion to adjourn? Beth, second.
All right, all in favor?
This meeting is adjourned. Thank you, everybody, as always.